episodes of government we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken, and no one will be able to be armed. We're going to take all the weapons.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
It's global governance at last. Is it one world? The central bankers in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
It's December 21st, 2012. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, the New York governor says gun confiscation and force buyback is an option. Plus, CNN continues to push the redcoat-style gun ban. And Chinese pharmaceutical companies are accused of selling pills made from dead babies?
The Korea Customs Service says they were made in northeastern China from babies whose bodies were chopped into small pieces and dried on stoves before being turned into powder.
That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story tonight, Kurt Nimmo, Infowars.com. New York governor, gun confiscation and forced buyback, an option. This is also up on DrudgeReport.com tonight. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state of New York is serious about gun confiscation. The Democrat and former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development told an Albany radio station he plans to propose a package of draconian legislation during his State of the State address next month. And this is what he's calling for. Quote, confiscation could be an option. Mandatory sale to the state could be an option. Permitting could be an option. Keep your gun, but permit it, the governor said. And of course, this is in New York where you already have to jump through, you know, 100 flaming hoops simply to get a gun in the first place. And isn't it the height of hypocrisy again, as we've said many times, that Cuomo himself, just like Mayor Bloomberg, has his own armed bodyguard, but is now lecturing the American people that they're going to have to potentially turn their guns in. It's okay for the crime bosses to be armed, to be protected with guns. American citizens are scum. You don't get that right. And so for all the people who say, you know, well, the American people will never turn in their firearms, it's never going to happen, just look at Hurricane Katrina. When the troops, when the National Guard came knocking, you know, even in the high and dry areas which were unaffected by the storm, they turned their guns in. You know, the quote from the police chief was, no one will be allowed to be armed, we will take all the guns. And in many cases, they did. So that's a fallacy that some Americans won't turn their guns in. Whether it happens on a widespread basis remains to be seen. But we're drawn back and back again to this whole fallacy that you need government permission, permits, to exercise a God-given right of self-defense. So basically, Cuomo's thrown his lot in with Michael Moore, Piers Morgan, Mayor Bloomberg, Obama, and of course the communist Chinese government calling for the American people to be disarmed. And they're all on message calling for law-abiding American citizens to be disarmed, to have their Second Amendment rights stripped. Along with the mainstream media, which brings us on to our next story, CNN pushes British-style gun ban. a letter to President Obama written by the sister of one of the Sandy Hook school shooting victims, which called for a British-style gun ban that would restrict firearms to shooting ranges and nullify the Second Amendment, was read out live on air by CNN host Anderson Cooper. And you can watch this video at Infowars.com. So basically, it was a family friend of one of the children tragically killed in the massacre. She goes on CNN, hands Anderson Cooper this letter written by the sister of seven-year-old Daniel Barden, who, of course, was tragically killed during the shooting. And, you know, it's heartfelt. It's got emotional imagery. You know, there's pictures of the memorial services in the background. And this is the letter that Anderson Cooper read out. It said, quote, "My name is Natalie Barden, and I wanted to tell the president that only police officers and the military should get guns. If people want to do it as a sport, then they can go to a shooting range and the guns would not be able to leave there." Which, of course, is ironic because it was the very fact that because only the police were armed in this area, remember it was another gun-free victim disarmament zone, a criminal safe zone, that's the very reason why nobody could stop Adam Lanza dead in his tracks until the police showed up, by which time he'd already killed 27 people because nobody had a gun to defend the kids with. So the very thing that ensured the massacre was as deadly as it could be is being promoted by CNN with this added layer of emotional manipulation. The open appeal to eviscerate the Second Amendment and go under a British-style gun ban where you can only have your guns in the shooting club, in the shooting range. By law, they're not allowed to leave there, which, you know, never mind the guns. In Britain, the guns went decades ago. Now, we're not even allowed to defend ourselves with a baseball bat or a knife, you know, in fear of being prosecuted by the criminal who's breaking into your house. So that's how it starts. With the gun ban, of course, the handgun ban, all handguns made illegal back in 1996 in Britain after another school massacre. In the 10 years that followed, gun crime doubled because it does nothing to stop crime. It only disarms law-abiding people. But Yahoo News described this letter as, quote, poignant and said it relayed, quote, a clear and thoughtful belief that guns did not belong in the hands of most civilians. And yes, it's the fact that a gun was not in the hands of a teacher or a school official. That's the very reason itself why Lanza was able to tragically kill all those children unimpeded. So now we've got CNN openly pushing for a British style, forget about semi-assault rifles, a full British style gun ban, handguns, the whole shebang, all of it gone. That's what CNN's pushing for now. And on that subject again, gun grabbers call for re-education programs in public schools. This is an article by Brandon Smith out of altmarket.com. And it's a response to a Reuters piece, which I believe we featured on the show a couple of days ago, which basically called, again, not only for the assault rifles to be banned, but for the entire shebang to go, handguns and everything, complete evisceration of the Second Amendment. Quote, the answer, according to gun grabbers, is to force schools to re-educate your children to fear and disdain the very idea of gun ownership. Again, we're back to that whole idea of making even the discussion of guns taboo and something dirty, something that's said in hushed tones. Quote, this is almost the equivalent of prima nocta policy against the gun rights movement. Essentially, the Reuters author's philosophy is to breed us out, taking away our ability to pass on our Second Amendment principle to our children through propaganda conditioning instead of trying to fight us head on. And it's a rebuttal to this Reuters piece, which states, quote, this is what they're calling for. If we can link federal funds to mandatory standardized testing, then we can certainly do the same for gun control education. So, of course, remember Eric Holder's quote from back in 1995, we must brainwash people on guns. That's precisely now what's being advocated at the school level. And, of course, all this is necessary for the gun grabbers because the majority of American citizens, despite what you've seen over the course of the past week, do not support gun control. Even in the very first few days after the Sandy Hook massacre, a Gallup poll found that more Americans wanted to arm teachers and school officials than those that wanted to ban semi-assault weapons. So more Americans support arming the teachers than banning the guns. And that was in the very first few days after the tragedy when the propaganda was at its most intense. So basically, this is an attempt, you know, on behalf of the authoritarians, the mainstream media, to bluff this consensus into reality that Americans want gun control, that they want to hand in their guns. We saw the scenes about, you know, the gun buyback programs and all that kind of stuff. But it's failing. You know, gun shows are better attended than ever in the past week. They're overflowing. Gun sales, which are already through the roof, have just gone completely insane. You know, Walmart selling out of guns. Brownells just announced that they've sold 3 years worth of magazines in 3 days. So the propaganda, the myth that law-abiding citizens handing in their guns prevents school massacres, which is what they're trying to push, has completely failed. There's a stampede of people who want to protect themselves against criminals, against shooters, against killers, before the government tries to strip that right away. Moving on to global news now. Syria rebels fire warning shots at airliner at Aleppo Airport. This is out of Reuters. Syrian rebels fired warning shots at an airliner preparing to take off from Aleppo Airport in the first direct attack on a civilian flight since the uprising in Syria began 21 months ago, a rebel commander said on Friday. The commander, who gave his name only as Khaldun, told Reuters via Skype that snipers from his brigade had hit the wheels of a Syrian Airways flight RB201 on Thursday. Those were warning shots, he said, adding that the plane had been unable to take off. Quote, we wanted to send a message to the regime that all their planes, military and civilian, are within our reach. Now imagine for a second the intensity of the freakout that would ensue if terrorists in the United States had fired a commercial airliner at a major airport, taking off from a major airport. Can you imagine the freakout, the hysteria that that would generate? But it happens to a major commercial airliner in Damascus, and it's barely even a news story. Nobody's even talking about this. And we know why. It's because the people behind it, the terrorists, known Al-Qaeda members who actually killed US troops in Iraq, are being funded, armed, trained by the West, by the Gulf states. They've been given the rocket-propelled grenades, and they're now openly targeting commercial civilian airliners, nothing to do with the military, openly targeting them and bragging about it. Remember how Alex said, I believe a couple of weeks ago, the rebels, of course, most of whom aren't even Syrian, would start targeting commercial airliners. That's exactly what they're now doing. But it's a good thing, you see, because they're not terrorists. They only chop off people's heads, burn the American flag, swear to impose Sharia law across the whole world, you know, swear to fly the Al-Qaeda flag over the White House while chanting Allah Akbar. But they're not terrorists. They're freedom fighters overthrowing a dictatorial regime, a regime that coincidentally killed absolutely none of its own citizens in the first 10 years of its reign, but suddenly started doing so when insurgents from Libya, Qatar, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia started flooding in, of course, with the aid of the CIA, as the New York Times reported. That's when the killing began. Is there a coincidence in there somewhere? But Reuters had a justification for terrorists firing at commercial airliners. Of course they have their justification. It's the claim that the civilian airliner is carrying military weapons, which, of course, we found out back a few months ago when Turkey intercepted Syrian planes on two separate occasions under the justification that they were being used to transport weapons. For a few days, they claimed they were investigating what was on the plane. Turned out absolutely nothing. No military weapons were found whatsoever. But they had found, apparently, sophisticated military communication equipment, which turned out to be people's mobile phones. So again, absolutely nothing. They're not transporting weapons on civilian airliners. They're just doing it on the military ones. But now the Obama-backed, NATO-backed terrorists are trying to shoot down commercial airliners full of innocent people, paid for with hundreds of millions of your taxpayer dollars, and it barely makes the news. It's a six-paragraph article in Reuters, which barely anybody knows about. Massive story. You're not going to see it on the news because we're funding the terrorists behind all this. Moving on, this is Lisa Garber out of naturalsociety.com. Chinese pharma companies accused of selling pills made from dead babies. A South Korean SBS TV documentary accused Chinese pharmaceutical companies of selling, quote, stamina pills that contain ground-up dead babies. The report claims that certain hospitals and abortion clinics sell baby corpses to the companies who then use their bodies to grind up for their stamina pill ingredients. The team ran a DNA test and found that the pills were 99.7% human. They were even able to tell the gender of the baby. Let's go to this clip.
South Korea reports seizing thousands of smuggled drug capsules containing an unusual added ingredient, the powdered flesh from dead babies. Some people believe they can cure disease. The Korea Customs Service says they were made in northeastern China from babies whose bodies were chopped into small pieces and dried on stoves before being turned into powder.
So basically the Chinese medical system is handing over the corpses of these stillborn and aborted babies. And of course, the system of forced abortion in China is enforced by, you know, gangs of thugs literally kidnapping women off the streets, driving them to the hospital, forcing to have their babies chemically boiled within the womb and destroyed. So they're getting these aborted babies, because we've had stories in the past about, you know, aborted fetus just thrown in a bucket and shoved in the corner of the room. They've also got what they call dying rooms, which are babies that are left abandoned by the parents. They just chuck them in a room, leave them to dehydrate and starve to death with no care whatsoever. This is the glorious communist system. So they're getting all these babies' corpses, all these fetuses, sending them to pharmaceutical companies who are literally just burning them, grinding them up, putting them in pills, selling them on the foreign market. It's absolutely sick, disgusting. But is it, you know, really any surprise from a country that still kills tigers so they can use the mythical tiger penis in their traditional medicine? I mean, this is not the first we've heard of this kind of thing, but now it's escalated even further where they're doing it with dead babies. Quote, the Daily Mail says the Chinese officials likely know about the trade and have attempted interrupting it, but ethnic Koreans from China smuggling the capsules to South Korea were thwarting their efforts. But of course, the real scandal here, which is ignored, is the fact that a plethora of Western companies are using cells derived from aborted fetuses to develop their products, mainly cosmetic items. Of course, we covered the Pepsi story here a few months ago, but also Neural Stem, Reneuron, Merck, GlaxoSmithKline, Senomix Limited, and Neocutis Incorporated. All these companies and more besides use cells from aborted fetuses in their products. So it's not just coming out of China, it's coming out of major pharmaceutical and cosmetic companies here in the West. And after coming to that understanding that they're using dead babies, fetuses ground up in their products, would you be really comfortable in buying and using them? Moving on, CBS Baltimore reports, some thought massive power outage in Annapolis marked end of the world. And that's right, we've reached the end of the Mayan calendar and we're all still here. We're alive, we're going, it's October, it's December 21st, 2012. Nobody's dead. Planet X didn't come and kill us. There were no massive tsunamis, no massive pole shifts. We're all still here. Everything's fine. As we said all along, it was a massive distraction. And thank God it's finally over. A massive power outage in Annapolis still has many people talking Friday morning. That's because it created a light show across the sky. Some were wondering, is it the end of the world? So basically, this transformer malfunctioned. It created a light show in the sky. Power was cut across the region. And according to this report, a lot of people left comments on social media fearing that this was the beginning, the early beginning, because it actually occurred on Thursday night, of Armageddon itself. But finally, we've got past this ridiculous Mayan calendar distraction. You know, the world hasn't come to an end. There's been no major spiritual shift, no rebirth of humanity, as far as I can tell. It feels pretty much the same as it did yesterday. Which is not to say, you know, that the world as we know it is not coming to an end. It just seems to be doing so at a very much more gradual fashion, which is, you know, precisely the point, because the very real environmental, sociological, economic threats to life as we know it, things like genetic engineering, chemtrails, you know, unstable nuclear power plants, the fact that 43% of the children in Fukushima have thyroid abnormalities, the financial meltdown, the, you know, the increasing erosion of morality and basic decency in developed countries, the increasing degeneracy of pop culture, and of course the evisceration of our rights with the Second Amendment in key focus this week. So all these things are very real and immediate threats, yet none of them are the subject of salacious, you know, Discovery Channel specials and endless media gossip, because they actually exist. They're real threats that we all face. And they're not the distraction that the 2012 doomsday prophecies, which thankfully for now are over, have proven to be. Quote of the day tonight on InfoWars Nightly News comes from William Butler Yeats. He said, quote, education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. So a lesson there for all the gun grabbers who are now advocating indoctrination of school kids against gun rights at the educational level. Just want to remind you to subscribe at prisonplanet.tv. Just been redesigned. It's all slick, fresh and new. The $39.95 price for the Christmas season is in effect. You can get 12 months for the lower price. It supports everything we do, keeps us going, and it's prisonplanet.tv. That's going to wrap it up for the news here tonight on the show. Stay tuned, though. After the break, Aaron Dykes interviews Charlotte Isaby, author of Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. Stay tuned.
And now, a special Christmas message from the Federal Reserve. This Christmas, the Federal Reserve would like to wish all of our slaves a very merry quantitative easing four. Our current chair, Ben Bernanke, has perfected the art of giving money to foreign banks for many years, as seen in this rare home movie. Ben is currently giving these banks $85 billion per month. Excellent work, Ben. Once again, this is the Federal Reserve wishing you and yours a very merry quantitative easing four, and we hope to destroy your economy in the new year.
Recently, the Harvard School of Health looked at more than a dozen scientific studies concerning fluoride and confirmed what countless other scientists have been documenting for decades. Sodium fluoride in the body reduces IQ and increases cancers. You see, the aluminum industry and the fertilizer industries would have to pay to store all the toxic waste they produce. But instead, they get our counties and cities to pay to put the poison in our water. It's not just fluoride we're getting, but lead, mercury, arsenic. The list goes on. And a lot of this toxic waste comes from China. Unfortunately, fluoride and its derivatives are only one of hundreds of toxins being added to our drinking water. We're battling the globalists on so many fronts. Health is an area where we can all take control of our lives, and it all starts with that basic building block of water. It is time to purify our family's water. The ProPure filtration system with added fluoride filters is the best system for my research to protect you and your family. InfoWarsStore.com already has the lowest prices on ProPure water filtration. But until December 10th, we are going to offer 15% off the already lowest price. I know what I'm giving my family this Christmas, ProPure. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 15% off the already lowest price out there with the code WATER15. WATER15, and you get 15% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
On the InfoWars Nightly News, I want to thank Paul Watson for doing the news segment. Joining us now is Charlotte Iserby. She is a consummate whistleblower. She's been inside the education department under Reagan. She's been in all kinds of diplomatic and governmental positions and has been exposing this stuff for decades. She's an absolute treasure trove. She is a brain trust, and we appreciate her joining us now. And among the discussions we're going to have is what went wrong with the shooter in Newtown, Connecticut, as well as what's going on with our schools in general and how they're changing us into a planned and controlled society. Charlotte Iserby, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Aaron. It's always a pleasure to be on, and we've got a bit to discuss tonight, awfully important things to discuss. One doesn't know where to start, but I guess we're going to start with the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut.
Well, it's on everyone's mind, and of course everyone knows how horrible this is. Children being shot down and anyone being shot inside a school is enough to horrify you. The problem is, where do we look for solutions? What are the real causes of this? Where do we need to address our society? How do we change things? They say it's gun control. Doesn't really make sense because guns have been around for hundreds of years, and it's the mind, it's the intent of the person. What kind of people are we creating in society?
Well, absolutely. We've got to get at the crux of the issue. And there's a very, this isn't just for Catholics. It happens to be a quote, which was, are you there? We're okay.
Yes, we're live streaming now.
It's a quote from Pope Benedict recently, and it really does, it really goes together with the article that I wrote on Columbine in 1999. And I understand you're going to put it up there, but I could read
I think we have that on screen, and it, I guess your title was Creating a Shooter, and it gets into the same stuff with this shooter, with the Columbine shooters. So go ahead and talk about that article, please.
Well, yes. Now, my article, I'm going to read from it, says, not only should Americans point the finger at violent television as a reason for copycat violence. This is the article I wrote that was in Education Week, 1999, after Columbine. They should examine the effects of computers and computer games on the human brain. I am no expert, but the computer is an opera conditioning machine, and no less than the late Harvard professor Skinner, the father of operant conditioning, referred to it as his box. Operant conditioning bypasses the brain, very important, with all the important functions which distinguish man from an animal. Memory, conscience, imagination, insight and intuition, functions by which human beings know absolutes and truths and are able to know God. Use of computer programming, simulation, virtual reality to train individuals to fly an airplane, perform surgery, etc., serve a very useful purpose. On the other hand, the same simulation virtual reality computer war game videos, which allow the individuals to engage in killing in a bloody and violent atmosphere played over and over again, desensitize the individual to the evil act of killing, whereby the individual as a programmed robot finds it increasingly easy to carry this distorted vision of reality outside into other areas of his life, such as a school building or playground. If that individual happens to be full of hatred, it doesn't take much imagination to figure out what programmed action he or she may take in order to vent that hatred and frustration. That's just part of my quote. Now, someone sent this through to me. This is from Pope Benedict, interestingly enough, recent, I think. He said, today's culture, characterized, among other things, by a utilitarian individualism and technocratic economics, tends not to value the person who is conceived of as a fluid being with no permanent substance. Paradoxically, man today often seems to be an isolated being because he is indifferent to the constitutive relationship of his being, which is the root of all his other relationships, his relationship with God. The human being today is considered mainly in a biological perspective, or as human capital, and I want to get into that, a resource, part of a productive and financial mechanism that towers over him. That's Pope Benedict. And that last part about human capital, I'm going to connect that with this, with a school choice agenda. Okay?
Right, but there's all kinds of important factors in there talking about violence and why do we see these school shooters. Of course, we know things like psychotropic drugs being prescribed to people with issues weighs into it, but you mentioned operant conditioning. Some people may not be familiar with that. That's B.F. Skinner, who used animal training and the computer simulations to program scheduled rewards. They don't have to be every time you perform a task, but there's a continuation of rewards, and we see this in violent movies and violent games alike, where the simulated act of killing itself is a reoccurring award, and things like kill counts come up in movies, and things like points and special things, special items you get in video games are these scheduled rewards, and they get people used to repeatedly not only witnessing but participating in these simulated acts of violence. And furthermore, in the media, we see them always rewarding these shooters. You become famous if you're a school killer. That's kind of its own simulated reward. That's just some of my take on the issue. What's your response to that, Charlotte?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very, very eloquent. I couldn't agree more with you. And I think that parents don't realize now that, and I didn't until yesterday, to this extent. Yesterday, I met this young gal, about 20 years old, who's won a great favorite of everybody on the East Coast as an activist, marvelous gal. She met Alex down in Chantilly, and she told me, she's 20, that her brothers are in middle school in Maine somewhere, and that they are... They're giving them these tokens with dollar amounts on them. And if the students walk properly down the hallway or answer a question properly or whatever, if they get the right answer, they do what the government wants, they get these tokens. And they can take that. They've got $1, $2, all up to 20, I guess. They can take it to the school store and buy something. Now, listen, folks, that's not just in Maine. This is going on all over. And even in my old town of Bath, Maine, where I lived, 10 years ago, they had the community-oriented policing system. And they were, if someone did a good deed on the street for an old lady or something, the police would come up and would give them a medal for doing a good deed. Now, the police were making the decision on what's a good deed or not. And this act on the part of the person who did the good deed would be registered in the state capitol computer, in the police department or the police force there. So, honestly, This is not something that is new with the operant conditioning. And Skinner, about 35 years ago, up in Mendocino, California, at a top secret meeting, this quote is in my book, Deliberate Dumbing Down, he said, in the future, Americans are going to get very upset about things going on and loss of their freedoms and this and that and the environment and blah, blah, blah. And they're, you know, they're just going to be unhappy people. And the only way to deal with the unhappy people isn't through police action. It's through operant conditioning and rewarding them. That is a direct quote. I mean, it's a little bit out of it, but that is a direct quote from Skinner. And so we're going to see more and more of this rewarding, punishment and reward. And so I think that the Newtown, Connecticut thing, whether one can connect it with what I'm talking about, I don't know. But we should be connecting it with education. And let me go on just a little bit further on this one. I wouldn't have written a 750-page book in regard to American education, which is all documents, had it not been for the fact that I'm horribly concerned. Of course, about the academics, no history, no math, no nothing, a deliberate dumbing down, but also a deliberate destruction of values. Deliberate. And I know that, and I saw, many of us saw this going on in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s still, with values clarification, death ed, all these rotten programs, but people could say, oh, Charlotte, that's just your opinion. But there is an entry in my book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, which is a free download. People can go there, download the whole thing. You can cut and paste. Just look at the index and look under guidance, and you'll see this quote. The quote says, it was in the guidance counselor's journal, a special edition on death education that they had in the mid-70s. And it said, we will use death education to change the students' values and beliefs towards death and dying the same way we use sex education to change their attitudes and beliefs towards sex and various sexual practices. Now, that is an important quote for parents and anybody out there to listen to, because that is an admission that all those programs that had education hanging off the end of them, bullying education, sex education, drug education, health education, those programs were geared to change our children's values from those taught in the home and in the church. That was the purpose. So let's look at Newtown. Let's look at any public school in America right now. Why do we have these problems? Well, yes, they're bored because there's not enough academics going on. But they've also had their value system completely screwed around. And some children have survived it. God bless them. But many haven't. And are the young people we're looking at who perhaps were involved in this horrible tragedy, were they the victims of 12 years of this kind of education, which ultimately they're now going to school in virtual prisons? How can they stand it? It's like a prison. They can't even order the food that they want. They're tracked everywhere. They've got police around the corner. I could go on and on and on. Now, I personally think I'd rather be in a prison. But it's gotten to such a bad point because they deliberately created that. I mean, I'm not kidding you with those horrible programs. There's something on my son's website, AmericanDeception.com, and you have to look under Pace Setters. It's about a 3-inch Bible out of the United States Office of Education that was published in 1969, and it has all of these programs I'm talking about. I'm not kidding you. This is the truth. There wasn't one single, I managed to get a copy of it. It's impossible to get a copy of this, but it's on my son's website, every page.
And that's AmericanDeception.com, right?
Yes. There isn't one single, well, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not going to be that, you know, positive about it, but those programs were designed to not only change the children's values and attitudes, everything's okay, you know, Lying's okay. Stealing's okay. You know, it depends on the situational ethics. Abortion's okay. Everything. And it wasn't just for the children. It wasn't just for the students that this horrible big manual was funded by the federal government out of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. It was for the teachers too. They had to go through the most horrible retraining over periods of years and years. So what we're looking at now in the public school system is a direct result. There's no way we could have gotten to where we are without what they did and with our tax money. There is absolutely no way. Now, then we move into, what are you going to do about it? And of course, it's, I understand the parents, they'll accept anything now. They'll accept poison under the label of school choice.
And they do.
Because school choice is poison. Because school choice is the same as the public education system.
Now, I know where you're going with this, and here's what I want to say in summary. Everything we're talking about, death education, sex education, all these topics are, of course, very important parts of life. But what they've done is taken the real culture that's developed over hundreds and thousands of years, been passed down through the tribal systems, and they've counterfeited it and tried to program us in these school functions. Why? For what? So we can have molded prescripted roles in this planned society, and that's what they're shaping us all towards. They've devalued the individual, and it's no wonder that people, especially on the fringes of that planned society, feel incredibly put aside by that, feel they have no value. So they seek attention. They seek a reward system, whether it's positive or negative. Doesn't really matter as long as it's a, quote, reward, a recognition of their behavior. And so as we move to that, they're trying to program, you're getting into school choice, they're trying to program us for jobs, for specific roles. It's no longer the economy that was built up from 1776 from free enterprise. It's they're going to assign you jobs as they ship most of the manufacturing overseas to China and other unregulated areas under NAFTA, under GATT, under World Trade Organization treaties. And our whole country is being swept into this system. It's, the whole thing is horrible. And you're right, a central pillar is there in the education system.
Oh, absolutely. I call it, you know, I always had my seven-pronged fork to show how the devil has created this problem. And, you know, gradualism, semantic deception, big money and all that, that's on the internet too, seven-pronged fork. I call this the three-legged stool. The three-legged stool is basically our wonderful Republican form of government, which calls for, it's the representative form of government where we elect officials. We have a free market system, free enterprise. And we have the right through private education to have the religious beliefs that we want and to have a better academic education. So with school choice, It's very, very deceptive. School choice, which, by the way, this should be enough. You know, if the lights went out right now, Aaron, which it looked like they did right here, we wouldn't have to talk anymore. I'm just going to tell you something. Why is it that the Council on Foreign Relations, the Neoconservative Heritage Foundation, and all its affiliates, which I call Trotskyites?
Because they are.
Yeah, and the Heritage, the Trotskyites, and this three-legged stool. And what else do I? The charter schools, that's what they're going after. That we've got the CFR, Obama, and the Heritage Foundation supporting school choice. Now you've got to ask yourself, how on earth why are the conservatives all of a sudden, phony conservatives, I guess, supporting something that the Council on Foreign Relations, the big globalist outfit, supports? Or that Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education under Obama, supports? What's going on here? I don't understand it. They're putting in the planned economy. The planned economy will come through the charter schools. The charter schools do not have elected boards, but they're funded with tax money. That's taxation without representation. They've been on the drawing board for many years. They have them in Russia. They are set up for workforce training. And so they needed that. They needed a type of education that is funded by the federal government, just like public, same as public education. The only difference is they don't have elected officials. The Soviet system doesn't have elected officials. It has councils, unelected councils. So with charter schools, that will be the snowball waiting to be knocked off the top of the mountain, bringing our whole elective system down. Now, I hope I'm wrong. You know me, I always sort of think ahead a bit. But if we accept unelected boards running the largest after defense segment of our economy, education, decisions being made by the corporations and the government schools, this is charter schools, folks. Without elected officials, if we allow that section of the economy to be taken over Soviet style, council system of government, regional government is communism. If we allow that, that is the, that's the beginning of the loss of our right to vote. So that's one. Charter schools, again, we're going to lose our free economy, our free market economy. This was called for back in 1934. By the Carnegie Corporation in conclusions and recommendations. You guys have seen that little blue book, right?
Right. You know, yeah, and we discussed it when we came up to interview you also in Maine.
Back there in 1934, Carnegie called for using the schools to change America from a free market system to a planned economy. All right, so that's charter schools. And then once we lose our whole private education system, because we will, because the private schools that refuse to take the money, the tax money, will not be able to compete. They'll go out of business. Homeschoolers won't be able to. They're the last one. I always say that's the last door for the totalitarians to knock down, huh? So, there will be no competition because the private schools that accept this money that comes under the Heritage Foundation, Obama, Council on Foreign Relations, School Choice, they will be totally controlled by the federal government. Now, let me explain. I really do know how this works. Number one, I worked as an elected school board. I was elected in the 70s. I always knew not to take federal money. I voted it down every time, number one. Number two, when I got into the U.S. Department of Education, I found a grant. It's in my book, Deliberate Dumbing Down. I think it's in my son's website, too, called Project BEST. Better Education Skills Through Technology. I looked at that, and I was very upset about putting this federally developed software for the computer into every state. That really bothered me. And actually, I leaked that document, and I was fired. Remember that, too. But I'll tell you one thing. The major reason I got upset about that was within that document, which was marked confidential, it said, and I want these people out there who support school choice, who think it's okay to take tax money from the federal government or the state government or local. Okay, I want them to listen to this. This is what it said. What we can control and manipulate at the local level. And it listed the content of the curriculum, the choice of the task forces, where they're going to have the meetings, on and on. Hmm. What that? Now, look, so you want to support school choice? What's out there now being supported by the CFR, Obama, and the Heritage Foundation? If you do, that's what you're going to get. That's exactly what you're going to get, what I saw with Project BEST. Now, another example. When I got a little bit, you know, they became curious, my boss, about what I was doing. We're okay now. We're still on, I hope.
We're still on, yes.
He sent me up to the National Institute of Education sort of to get rid of me and with a cut and dried agenda for little Charlotte. Right? So I was going to work with a government GAO guy on waste, fraud, and abuse up at the National Institute of Education, which is the one that puts all your tax money goes in, all these grants, not just out in the United States, but all over the world, right? And so I started going through the computer printouts, and I was working with this very nice guy from GAO. And I came across a very important document there, which was about changing little elementary school children's values, pre- and post-testing. And I showed it to him, and I said, I really this is not just waste, fraud, and abuse, you know, monetarily speaking, but this is horrible. And I showed it to him. He agreed. He said, this is absolutely horrible. And I said, can I spend some time here, more time? He said, you can have as much time as you want. So then I got into looking at the grants and contracts from the standpoint, not just of the values destruction, but what was it the government, how did they handle these grants and contracts? Well, okay, the recipient, say the public school, the private school out there that's going to take the federal money because everybody's all on board, like CFR, Heritage, and Obama, that school is going to be required to submit quarterly reports on how it's spending its money. My job was to make sure that all of these entities, universities, schools, et cetera, were submitting their quarterly reports. And if I found in any of those reports that they were doing anything contrary to the regulations, the federal regulations, the money was cut. Now, I want people to listen to me on this because this federal funding thing, there's no way we can accept school choice and have private education exist in this country. Now, if they want to look at the condition of France right now, France went through this 30, 40 years ago under Mitterrand. The same thing happened. All the Catholic schools are down the tubes. There's no question about it. And I don't, people don't understand what I'm saying.
Well, it's first of all, one of the major issues is the federal funding. It's the feds biting the hand that feeds. That's us, the taxpayers. But secondarily, it's reverse of that. It's the hand that feeds biting back, where we give them the dollars and they take away our independence. They take away our ability to determine our own lives. And we're handed down this centralized decision-making platform. And it's no wonder it gets undermined. I'm sure plenty of the people appointed to these unelected boards, perhaps originally start with good intentions, but people don't have the discernment, they don't have the time to get into the issue, and they believe these recommendations worded with nice, lofty words have the best intentions as well when they don't. And you talk about Heritage Foundation, everything else, you've got true conservative people feeding money and energy and investment of trust into an organization that's controlled by the Rockefellers, controlled by the whole tax-free foundation mechanism, which is anything but conservative. It's completely radical. They've declared their intent to change our society forever, and they're doing it.
You have to go back to 1965, sort of with the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. Never forget Carnegie in 1934 calling for exactly what's going in right now. And don't forget, the top globalists want that, and the only way they can get that is through school choice, where they will lock up everybody. They have to have everybody in the planned economy, which is global too. They have to have everybody. And that's the only way to get everybody, is if you have the complete education system, including homeschoolers. Because you can't have a properly functioning Soviet polytech training system with a few people as outliers, not involved. The computer system doesn't work that way. But I'm going to go back to 1965. From that time on to 1980, I think all of us remember, I mean, a lot of your people weren't even born then, but this was when we had true conservatism in this country, and we fought all of these values-destroying programs that came out of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. And you know, we were successful. Sometimes I think more so than we realize. I believe we were meant to go down this country 20 years ago. That's my feeling. And I believe we were more successful than we knew. But we killed values, in some instances, values clarification, death ed, all this stuff, horror, taking the children to the funeral home to see dead bodies and all this stuff we were talking about earlier. We fought. A lot of teachers and parents across the country fought hard. Then, after they had succeeded with, I'd say, probably 60% of our young people changing their values from those taught in the home or in the church, they knew they'd pretty much done their job. So that was the Democrats, and we could beat up on the Democrats all we wanted, and we all did. Then comes Ronald Reagan, who was my great idol, you know? I thought he was going to continue this beating up on them. Well, no, what happened is, I think, They changed. Their agenda was changed. They had completed the destruction of the values. That doesn't mean they were going to stop with all these rotten programs, but that was pretty much taken care of. Democrats could go to sleep. On board come the Trotskyite Republicans. The Republican Party was invaded by Trotskyites. Ron Paul knows all about this. And so we get Bill Bennett, we get all the, you know, Crystal, we get all the rest of them, Billy Crystal, all of them. And, their agenda, and Terrell Bell, T.H. Bell, who was very left-wing and had been a great supporter of the U.S. Department of Ed, he's brought on board by Ronald Reagan to get rid of the very department he supported. Well, they have the nation at risk. Then they start, they focus on how are they going to destroy the public school system, basically, to completely restructure it, which is what we're looking at now, charter schools. So they had to get rid of grades. I mean, this was all in the works. Get rid of ABCD. Get rid of kindergarten through 12th grade. The goal was through Mark Tucker, School to Work. All of this was and to bring the traditional elected board, or rather the hierarchy of the public school system, the skeleton, bring it down. Get rid of the elected board members. And the intermediate thing is right now was site-based management, they called it. Now it's called charter schools. And so what I'm trying to say is the Democrats went to sleep. If you look back since 1980, you won't see very many initiatives that came out of the Congress that were Democrat. You know, I mean, I was pretty slow on, I kept saying, what's something wrong with me? I mean, what's going on here? Because up until 1980, they hadn't been doing that. And then when Reagan came in, it was unbelievable. All of a sudden, I saw these projects, especially the change in our economic system from free enterprise, let's call it corporate fascism. That happened. And I wrote the president a nice letter prior to that happening. You know, when I was fired, I wrote him and I still believed in him. And I told him everything that was going on in that building, the U.S. Department of Ed, Marxist factory. And I never got an answer from him, although I know he got my letter because John Lofton, who was a journalist back then, I know where John is now, he called the White House and he talked to Reagan's secretary. And she said, oh, yes, Mrs. Ezerbait's letter is on his desk. He's marked it all up, and he sent it on to Ed Meese. Well, he sent it on to Ed Meese. So anyway, this is what they were involved in, changing our form of government, but an economic system. But let's take a look at who drafted NAFTA. Who drafted the North American Free Trade Agreement? I wonder how many people, Heritage Foundation supporters, know that it was Richard Allen, who worked under Reagan in the White House, dismissed because he accepted a watch from the Japanese, went over to World Heritage, drafted the North American Free Trade Agreement, which has been responsible for a lot of our listeners out there. Americans have lost their jobs because of the Heritage Foundation, which is now all involved in putting in the new economic system. With school choice. Now look at Senator DeMay. What on earth? A senator, a good senator, put in there by South Carolina voters. That's an important seat. Why is he leaving his job to go to Heritage and head it up and push the school choice agenda? Please, folks, think. Think, think.
Well, there's so many important issues in what you're saying, but trying to break it down, we're talking about a basic pattern of deception. If they came with a frontal assault and said, we're going to destroy and undermine your system, people would see through it. They'd immediately fight back. But by splitting the opposition and saying that, you know, an actual enemy is really your leader, your shepherd, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing deception, the exact pattern modeled by the Fabian socialists who introduced us to a controlled society through gradual incrementalism of a communist system.
Right.
And that's why you see it in the so-called conservatives with the neoconservatives who really are not conservative at all, and they're signed onto the same Cecil Rhodes-based system that controls the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg groups, the Trilateralists, and the rest of them. And as you pointed out, they're pushing for a global government with regional subcomponents, regional because it circumvents all the nationalism and all the sovereignty that comes with constitutions and everything else. That's why you see people like Jeb Bush writing the North American Union documents for the Council on Foreign Relations, though many of the Bushes talk a good game at many times. So do their advisors and spokespeople. But they're here to destroy us.
Well, yes, and I feel particularly affected by it here in Maine, and our citizens, if they knew what Jeb Bush has done here. I mean, he's got that education consultant that's come up to Maine, and they're giving because Maine has fought, you know, held up for a long time on charter schools. We didn't want it. So Jeb Bush moved in here with, what's her name, Levesque, and with sample legislation, and they worked very hard through the Maine Heritage Foundation, which actually was responsible for selecting our new commissioner, Stephen Bowen, and it was through Jeb Bush and this whole outfit, including Governor Hunt, who must be 90 years old now, who is about as far left as you can get. That crowd, Hunt and LePage, and Jeb Bush. I have a picture of the three of them meeting at this conference they held about 6 months ago in North Carolina. Now, this is our so-called conservative governor, LePage. I talked to him the day before he was, before he became governor. The day before, he called me, because he knew I was upset about charter schools. And we had a nice talk, and I told him, I said, look, this is very dangerous. I said, you may not understand it. He said, well, we don't have any elected school boards with charter schools, and this is going to be school-to-work agenda. This is the Soviet system. And he looked at me, he said, well, we'll have to do something about those unelected boards. And I said, well, look, if you do, you'll just go right back to the public school system. Because charter schools are public schools. The only difference between a charter school and a public school is a charter school does not have elected boards. Well, he looked at me, you know, that glazed look, and off he went, and he went ahead and did everything Heritage Foundation wanted. They got the legislation passed for charter schools. It's devastating. And anyway, Aaron, I mean, you're absolutely correct. It's wonderful to talk to people who followed history. I mean, you can't understand any of what we're talking about unless you know your history. And if anybody said to me, look, Charlotte, you've got 10 seconds left on this show. It's going to cut down. What's the most important document that we can read? It's an American Deception, and it is called Conclusions and Recommendations for the Social Studies. And I think you click in report first into the search engine. It will pop up. You can read it. It says right there that the schools will be used to change America's free enterprise system to a planned economy. This is 1934. And, there it is. And then it talks about the changes in the curriculum. It talks about Americans being upset with the changes that are going to be made. They're not going to be happy, but it's going to be for the good of all of us because we're marching down the road. And they even say globalism, right? So all of this, and then Carnegie, of course, all the way through, every 5 years, I say, Carnegie funds something. The Education Commission of States, the National Assessment, Mark Tucker's thing, going into Rochester, New York, the whole Commission on Workforce Training. You have the Mark Tucker letter to Hillary. People could look that up. It's all Mark Tucker, Carnegie. Look, and then you flip over into the new century, and you have even more of this stuff. And I hope people will, you know, because you've got my book there, the abridged version of the deliberate dumbing down. I hope people will get that book through you, because the updated version gives you the, you know, year 2009 to 2012, what's going on with Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, all the other corporations.
Exactly.
The whole thing, UN Agenda 21 is very much connected with education. And, so do get that book, which InfoWars has at their website. And I do hope you will definitely get on board with my no charter schools.
The problem is everything you say is so sourced, it just triggers 8 more questions I have. Here's what I have to say about the book. I haven't had the chance to read it cover to cover, but I have absolutely used it as a reference. I have discussed it with people. And I remember we interviewed you 2 times, probably 12 hours on camera, and you had a stack of books. You had your books sourced. They were specific, important books. I went out and bought as many of those books as I could find when they're available on the marketplace. Those that weren't, I download it from that site you're showing, AmericanDeception.com. You can get an entire library of crazy good sources. But your book, Deliberate Dumbing Down, that we have at InfoWars, has it condensed. It's got piles of research, literal stacks of books indexed and referenced in here, and you can get the basic idea in a couple hundred pages, though it does seem like a weighty tome here, but it's full of very important information. Now, on the point of Bill Gates, we're seeing a continuity. He's got his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They've told us how good they've, how much good they're doing for the world. This is a continuation of the corporate fascism you're talking about. Mussolini said fascism is better termed corporatism. It's where the government apparatus, the medium between the people and the powers, is distorted to work for those corporations. And those corporations don't represent free enterprise. They represent the monopolist who took over our country roughly 150 years ago, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Harrimans, on down the line with the Vanderbilts and the rest of them. And what happened was the public hated those monopolists so much, and they learned they could steer public opinion towards them by telling them how much good they're doing. That's why we saw the Carnegie Foundation. They were the first to pop up. The Rockefeller Foundation followed shortly after, and the others that we've learned to see. And the point I'm trying to make is they've controlled, through the guise of doing good, how to steer society towards what they want, a controlled, compliant population. And Bill Gates is absolutely continuing that agenda. We know he's used most of his money to fund vaccines and GMOs around the world, but he's also using his money to tell us how to handle socialized health care, what kind of medicines we could get, whether or not we should fund the prototypical granny in a hospital who might take $1 million worth of health care, and whether we can reroute it towards the educational system. He's putting money directly into schools to change that education system. And so my point is, what have we learned about Bill Gates lately?
Oh, we learn about Bill Gates sort of every day. I know one thing, that he's very close to Jeb Bush, but I would like to just one thing. I believe that I sent you all an article from the Austin Chronicle about a charter school which is in Austin, and the idea is called Idea Academy. Well, fortunately, I think the local people did manage to kill it, but prior to killing it, this gives people a good idea what a charter school really is all about. You know, they're sending these people in to run charter schools that know nothing about education. They know a lot about computers. They know a lot about systems management, and they know a lot about control, and they know a lot about workforce training. But they come in and computers, and they went into that school, which I understand from my friend who sent me the article. They went in there and this was a Hispanic school, and it had been there over 100 years, and the parents were really involved, and they loved the school, and they could have lunch with their children at noon. And this outfit, Idea, corporate types, came in, and they emptied the library of all the books and put computers in. And they changed all the rules and regulations, and they displaced all sorts of students all over Austin or whatever. But anyway, it's an interesting story that your people probably know a lot more about it than I do. But I think it's important to talk about this because that's a perfect example. They don't care about our students. They don't care about teachers. They care about money. This is for profit. It's not education. It's global workforce training. And once the money follows the child, which is what our governor wants to do here, and I'm sure in other states, the money that used to go to the school district you know, to fund all your students. Equally, the money is now going to be going, my friend in Texas, who's an educator 30 years or so, he's been doing it. He told me that in Texas, they've got legislation that is, I believe this is what he said, where the money, and the same in Maine, the money will follow the individual child. And so, they will know what, they will have, you know, check that child, psychological tests, et cetera, what he should do in the future, and they will, you know, educate him for the job that's been decided by the school business partnership. And, so this is very, very dangerous. They'll be keeping records, you know, the computerized, data collection records, everything about that child. They have information and they will follow that child lifelong. And we saw this just happen in Maine where students from New Hampshire were going up to schools. Now, I remember, how on earth can that work unless you have the money following the child? How is the school budget going to be broken down so that you've got, this is total regionalism, which is communism, by the way, and, you know, a communist writer for the Daily World admitted that. I've got that article. It's in my book. Look under ITLIN. But anyway, they're putting this in. This is what's going to be happening. The students will be going across borders because they're going to have to get the training across the border, maybe in Louisiana for you. You know, they've got training that you don't have in Texas. They don't care about your children. Ultimately, they will, as Harold Shane said, a great education change agent, your children, it's in my book too, will be moved all around the world. They don't care about you, mom and dad. That's what they're going to do with your children.
Oh, what you're saying is true. There's documentaries on the IMF where they created programs through the IMF for jobs for countries like Jamaica, for instance. But they never gave those jobs to Jamaicans. They brought Chinese workers over to work in those slave factories. And that's the kind of thing that will eventually hit home, even here in the wealthy Western world.
Yes. And it's... This money following the child is very scary. I mean, okay, say that means that there's a great quote by a professor, Eugene Boyce, out of the University of Georgia that I often use. And he says, and he's not a conservative. He's probably very liberal. He's talking about communist education. And he says, in communist countries, they do not educate for jobs that don't exist. Think about that.
Right.
I mean, is if your son or daughter, they want to be a cellist, they want to be a ballet dancer, they want to be a welder, I don't know, they want to make bicycles, but there's no job out there for that. So they're not going to be able to do that. They're not going to be able to be trained. Wake up. It sounds good fascism. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? No, but it's the Soviet system. And if you go back, you were talking about the foundations. You go back to the tax-exempt foundations and the investigation of the tax-exempt foundations called the Reese Committee investigation. It's at my son's website again, the whole 3,000 pages.
Bless you, Charlotte.
And where Rowan Gaither, the president of the Ford Foundation, told Norman Dodd that the foundations got their instructions from the White House. And the instructions were, to change America through the funding, all the money, change America so it could be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. Now, people are going to say, oh, it's dead and all. I don't want to ever hear that again, please. It's more alive here than over there, really. But the merger has taken place, not just with the Soviets, but with China. So Rowan Gaither told the truth. We have merged. And then, of course, Reagan signed the agreements with Gorbachev to merge the two systems in 1985. And everything that we wrote about that, we conservatives, including myself, trying to expose it, was boycotted. Every book I've ever written has been boycotted, not by the left, by the conservatives.
By your so-called conservative friends. Bless you, Charlotte. But in closing, we could talk for hours, and we have, of course, and people should check out those interviews, by the way. I'll plug them at the end. But the bottom line is they're not interested in free-thinking individuals, and they're not interested in a system where you can make your own decisions. They want to dictate the jobs to you. And, yes, it serves the corporate agenda as much as it serves the so-called government, because they work together. That's what a private partner public-private partnership is. That's what fascism is. That's the system we're going into. It could also be called collectivism, and they're working on that, and that is all in the deliberate dumbing down of America. You can get it from the website, dumbingdown.com. You can also get the book, the abridged version, back in print after years of not being in print here at the InfoWars store. But Charlotte, just in closing, we need to talk about the bumper sticker initiative. They told me today Alex has a new plan to give bumper stickers for free, maybe 100 at a time, to people who are willing to put them up in public places for the express purpose of trying to get the message out. And separately, you had the idea to put out these bumper stickers that you could see on screen. It says, "School choice / charters will kill private education." You're clearly trying to get a message out, and you're donating thousands of those bumper stickers to us here at InfoWars so we can give those out to people who do orders with the other free bumper stickers we give. So it's an exciting opportunity, and you're going to be selling them too, I guess, from your website. Is that right?
Yes. My son has put the ad on my website on the order page. And I hope that you will. You can get them by sending me a check. So we'll be there, and make sure that you send me a self-addressed envelope, you know, so that I don't have to fill out all the envelopes and the addresses. Self-addressed, and they're only 50 cents each, you know, so send me whatever, you know, a check, and add $5 for shipping and handling too. But we will be selling them at my website. And then, of course, Alex, I'm just thrilled. It couldn't have happened at a better time for me to dump all these on you. And they're nice and big. This is not the actual picture right here. That's what it is, but it's much bigger because it's 15. It's 15. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. It's 3¾ or something by 15. It's a beautiful, big, big bumper sticker. And just remember that whatever the government funds, the government controls. And there was a great researcher from Texas, Billy Lyon. I don't know if people have heard of Billy Lyon and Don Bell, the great writer, did a newsletter from 1945 when he was on MacArthur's staff prior to that in a Japanese concentration camp. When he got out, he did this newsletter until he died in 1995. Every 2 weeks, go there to Don Bell at AmericanDeception.com for the history of everything. But anyway, Don Bell put Jenny Baker's newsletter on school choice into his newsletter. And basically what Ginny, it was a beautiful newsletter she did, and she warned people, and she said, look, the regulations for school choice will be the same as the regulations that were passed about 30 years ago for daycare. The federal regulations for daycare, and they define daycare as any institution that takes care of our children for a period of the day, which would mean public education. And it said right there, that all of the regulations and requirements of the federal government had to be accepted and carried out. Otherwise, they lose the money. So I want people to know that it's not just my opinion.
Comes with strings, and then you're a puppet. Sorry to interrupt.
Legislation is there. If you look up Billy Lyon in the index of Deliberate Dumbing Down, you'll find that. It's a great article she did on choice charter schools and all. And anyway, I'm not kidding. I wish this weren't true. The situation has become so drastic in the public schools on purpose, as I hope you believe me. They did it. It's horrible. You know, even if we weren't getting school choice out of it, this horrible school choice, which is no choice. But even if we weren't, look what they did to our children from 1965 to now. And the poor kids, they're being blamed.
And the record speaks for itself.
It's the parents who should be blamed, who didn't catch on, who didn't help us fight this. Teachers shouldn't even be blamed. They've gone through the most horrible retraining teachers. Now, you're going to get later on, we've got this four-disc project, which covers all the videotaping and written documentation as a result of a major conference that was held up here in Maine last August.
And you're putting all that stuff out on DVD, and I know you're going to join Alex later to talk about it, and I believe we're going to make it available here. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. We're going to have to close with you right there, but we appreciate you joining us, Charlotte. And that's all for tonight's InfoWars Nightly News, but I just want to point out, she's not here to make money. She's not here to toot her own horn. She was talking about the tax-free foundations. The government was forced to investigate them back in the 50s. Those foundations had such pressure over the government. They tried to actually buy up those physical records and have them destroyed. Charlotte herself was involved in buying up those records so they could be circulated and exposed to the light of day. And it's exactly what we have to do on this education agenda and so many other aspects of the agenda. When we put the light of day on it, they cannot rule us through deception. That's what we have to do, is break that method of deception. And we did two very powerful interviews, installments, I guess, with Charlotte Israel. They're up on PrisonPlanet.tv. You can also see them for free on YouTube.com. One is on the whole Skull and Bones agenda. Her father and grandfather were involved in the secret society. The other is on how they're using education to destroy our society, how they're dumbing us down on purpose. Again, the entire thesis of her thorough book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. We have that at InfoWars.com. But please go watch those interviews. It's a boil down of hours and hours and hours of picking Charlotte's brain. She's such a brain trust. She knows so many things, and it's just exciting to talk to her. I know we're going to have her back on in the near future. Thanks for joining us, and good night.